As we have announced, our title for our lesson tonight is Homesick for Heaven. Homesick for Heaven. I'm homesick. Yes, I'll just have to admit, I miss my wife. I love being with Joe and the kids and Jennifer, but I am homesick. I tell Judy as soon as I'm backing out of the driveway, if somebody had called, say, Brother Hafley, we don't want you to come, I'd say, oh. I hope you understand. It's nice to be in love after 45 years. Homesick for heaven. Because earth is not where you want to be. And earth is not where you're going to stay. This is all of life that we know. Yes, it is. But we're not going to be here forever. As David said, I once was young, but now I am old. I have to admit that. 15 years ago, when we moved to Peyton City, the elder said, we're looking for an older preacher. And I looked around. I thought, yeah, that was me. So we're not going to be here forever. We read of a place that's called heaven, the song suggests. But how many of us really want to go? Do you know there have been millions and millions of people that have risked their fortune, their family, even their own lives, sacrificing so much to be able to come to this country? As we said in one of our lessons, one of the comedians at Branson, his favorite catchphrase was, what a country. They want to come here. And we must feel that way about heaven, about our home above the bright blue. One of these days, if this world lasts, my body is going to be placed in the ground. That's inevitable. Or if the Lord comes, as the song says, this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize. Is that what you're looking forward to? Or is it how much we can gain in this life? Material wealth, possessions, fame. When I was a young boy, everybody wanted to be like Elvis Presley. Oh, to be him. To have what he had. Anybody want to trade places with Mr. Presley right now? Me neither. He wasn't homesick for heaven. Early pioneers and sailors that set out to discover a new home, I know they got homesick. They didn't know whether they were going to return home or not. I remember when I was 12 years old, I had stayed with my grandparents every summer as soon as school was out, since the age of 6 to the age of 11, but something happened when I turned 12. We were leaving to go back home, and my grandparents looked at me with shock and awe and said, aren't you going to stay? My suitcase was already in the car. And I remember I wanted to say, no, Granddaddy, I'm going to go home. But I stayed. My dad took the suitcase out of the car, and they drove off. It was a 57 Oldsmobile. I can still see those taillights as they went out of sight. And my insides, oh, if my heart had stopped, I think I would have felt better. I was so homesick for them, and they weren't a mile away. And I had 2 weeks to wait. I went into my grandmother's bedroom, and she had a big circular mirror and a little stool sitting there, and me and my reflection had a big pity party. My aunt came in a few minutes later and said, honey, are you okay? Yeah. I got something in my eye. About 4 or 5 years ago, I asked her, Joyce, do you remember that? You remember what I told you? She said, yes, sweetheart, I remember. I said, did you know what was really going on? She said, oh, yes. I knew you were homesick. I could not wait even to see my brothers. That's how homesick I was. I knew what was waiting for me at home. I knew the TLC, I knew the tender love and care, I knew all that was there, and I wasn't where I wanted to be. Now let me ask you, are you where you want to be? Are you seeking earthly treasures? Remember what Jesus announced in the Sermon on the Mount. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. You know, he mentions three ways in which you can lose them. Moth, rust, and thieves. But that's not the only way, is it? Is it? And so we're not going to keep what we have here. When my father came to get me, you get the parallel? When those 14 days passed that I thought would never pass, when he came to get me, he asked, "Are you ready to go?" What do you think I said? Oh boy, I love my grandparents, but I wanted to go home. And I love my wife, and I love my children, and I love my grandchildren. But I want to go home. I don't know about you when you've lived a very, very many years at all, and you see what's in this world. There's not a whole lot to keep you here, is there? That's why Paul could say, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." He said to Timothy that I'm ready to go. I'm ready to shove off. Did he tell Timothy that I don't love you anymore? That's not what he was saying. But he knew where he was going eventually. Our hearts are touched by these familiar lines from this poem. "No more from that cottage again will I roam. Be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. Oh, there's no place like home." And you're picturing in your mind Judy Garland as she snaps her heels together with her little red shoes in The Wizard of Oz. Did she love the three new friends she'd made there? Sure. But she was willing to give them up. She was ready to go home. She wanted to go home. And today it must be the same with you and the same with me. What does the song say? "Earth holds no treasures but perish with using." You think about that? Earth holds no treasures but perish with using. However precious they be, yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me. And I hope that it holds all to you as well. I hope that it does. The Lord died so that it would, as we'll talk about in just a little bit. We must know that earth is not our home. Indeed, we sing, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through." We are strangers and pilgrims, Paul said, Philippians 3 and verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. We're strangers, we're pilgrims. We're just passing through in this life. Turn, if you will, to the book of Hebrews and Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10, as we read about Abraham. Hebrews 11 and verse 10. "He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God." Hebrews 11, verse 10. Drop down to verse 16. "But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14? He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He said, I told him earlier, "I'm leaving you. I'm going." Was he going where he wanted to go? "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." He's going to come again. And he said that where I am, there you might be also. You're looking forward to that place where he is? You have often heard it said, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and hell is a prepared place for an unprepared people. We must be making our preparation, as the five wise virgins did in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Don't be among the fools, the foolish virgins, who did not make the proper preparation. Let us know that we will not be here forever. Paul, a few pages back in the little book of Colossians, in chapter 3 and verse 2, he says to set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Things. Don't let it be on things that can be removed from you so quickly. My grandparents, the ones that I told you about earlier, my grandmother had retired from teaching after 35 years. They had their farm, 40 acres, paid for. Everything was going great. Then an automobile accident came and they lost it all. They lived out the rest of their lives in a rented house. Lost it. You can lose it all, folks. Lose it all. In a heartbeat. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. I remember asking a farmer when he was telling me about his cows and how they'd always have the calves way out the farthest away from the barn, way out in the pasture somewhere. And I said, well, how do you get them into the barn? I said, that old cow's not going to leave that little calf. He said, you want to know how I do it? I said, I put that little calf over my shoulder, and wherever I go, that old mama cow's going to go. He said, you want to know why? Why, sure. He said, because I'm taking her treasure. I'm taking her treasure. Remember that through all of these years. And I remember as sometimes a farmer would sell his little calves, and they'd haul off these little calves in a truck. And I remember seeing the old mother cow running down the field alongside the road. She knew her treasure was in that truck. And you know what they called that? They said, she's bawling. And so was I. How about Walker's age? That's something you just don't forget. You just don't forget. When somebody takes your treasure away. But folks, here is a treasure that Peter says that is reserved in heaven. Incorruptible. It cannot be taken away from us unless you allow the devil to get into your life, into your heart. Turn back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and begin reading in verse 1. Paul said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What's the difference between this earthly house and that one? Is this one eternal? We live like it is. Many of us do. We live like we think we're going to live here forever, but we are not going to live here forever. For in this earthly house, he says, verse 2, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from above. Living in this earthly house, are you groaning? Are you earnestly desiring to be in that house, which is from above? I hope that you are. Because this body is mortal. This body is mortal. Jump back to chapter 4, verse 16. He says, for which cause we faint not. That is the cause of Christ. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Did somebody ever tell you, you know, if they haven't seen you in a few years, they say, oh, you still look the same. My father-in-law used to say, yes, I was born old. But I have some pictures, the people that tell me that every now and then. I said, I've got some pictures in a yearbook back home that you're going to say that I've changed. And some people look at Judy and I, our wedding picture, And they'll say, is that your first husband? Because it doesn't look like this guy. There's been some changes made. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. That's why some of us older folks can still be happy. Yes, we're getting old. We're losing things we don't want to lose. And we're gaining things we don't want to gain. But we're still happy. Why? Because we have something to look forward to. Oh, really? What's that? Not here on earth. Not something that can be laid out ahead and taken away from us. But something that cannot be taken away from us. This old body is indeed mortal. All flesh, Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, is as grass. Up home in the spring, it's dead after the winter, and then it lives, and then it dies. Short life. We look forward in the spring to the beautiful flowers, and they are no sooner there than the petals are dropping. Oh, we're looking so long for them, and they're gone. And that's how he says life is. It is a shadow. It is swifter than a weaver's shuttle. And on we could go with Bible descriptions. But the body will return to dust, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. No matter how many vitamins I take, how much I may exercise, what good food I may eat, this body's going to turn into a bag of dust, and that's it. But the spirit back to God who gave it, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7. This body is not eternal, it is mortal. It is appointed unto man, Hebrew writer said in 9:27. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. I don't know about you, but I want to be ready for that judgment. I do not want to hear, depart from me. Do you? Do you? Neither do I. Neither do I. James 2 and verse 26 says the body without the spirit is dead. Not the spirit is dead, but the body without the spirit is dead. The body dies. As we said, this robe of flesh, if the Lord were to come now, you'd hear a thud. Your body dropping, mine dropping, and your soul leaving. And that's what's going to happen. To go to heaven, you must want to go there. You know there are things and places that we may want and we may want to go. How badly do you want them, or how badly do you want to go there? Places on earth. If it is some place that you really want to go, you'll find out a way to get there, won't you? You may have to borrow some money, you may have to go in debt, but you will get there. You remember the prodigal son in Luke 15, verse 17? It says he came to himself. And some of us have to come to ourselves. You're not looking at perfection up here. There are times we have to wake up and come to ourselves. Have you? Have you? Well, somebody said, what is in heaven? What is there that would make me want to go? That would motivate me to want to go? Well, first of all, God is there. What did Jesus pray in Matthew 6 and verse 9? Our Father, which art in heaven. He's there. Well, how much did he love us? He's already shown us, didn't he? We know. We've read the story. We've read the book. God so loved the world. And you can put your name there. God so loved Mo Haefley. God so loved Stan, Josh, Jeremy, everybody. Put your name in there. Instead of it being all-inclusive. He loved me that much to do that for me. God commendeth his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Romans 5 and verse 8. God is going to be there. If he alone were going to be there, that would be enough. But Jesus is there in heaven. Colossians 3 that we referred to a moment ago, verse 1. He is in heaven. That's where Jesus is. He is on the right hand of God, the Father, in heaven. And on we could go. Stephen looked up in Acts 7 and verse 55. What did he see? Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Would that be enough motivation for you to want to go there? I remember as a boy seeing in the early 50s brochures from Hawaii. You know what they had on there? They didn't have trash. They didn't show the storms. No, no. They showed the beautiful, clear, bluish, green water, all of the beautiful birds, things that motivated you to want to go there. And so, where do people want to go? Has God given us enough motivation to want to go to heaven? Not only will God and Jesus be there, but the Holy Spirit will be there. John chapter 5, verse 7 says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Well, what has the Spirit done for us? He's given us our GPS, hasn't he? Our road map to heaven, and it's right here. Revealed where we can read it. Paul said, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery. It once was a mystery, but no more. You have no excuses. Angels will be there. Angels rejoice, Jesus tells us in Luke 15. When one sinner repents, the angels in heaven rejoice. We'll all be like the angel, Jesus said in Matthew 22 and verse 30, in heaven. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 7, he said, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is there. Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit is there. Angels are there. And saints will be there. Saints will be there. Yes, earth holds no treasures but perish with using. However precious they be, yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me. All of the saints that you have known, and some that you did not but have read about and know about, will be there. Is that a motivation for you to want to be there? I found an old songbook in my grandmother's belongings after she passed from this life back in about 1991. And one of the verses to one of the old songs says, many friends were gathered round me in the bright days of the past, but the grave has closed above them, and I linger here the last. And the longer we live, the more and more often we are called to the funeral home and burying our friends, our loved ones. But many today are too in love with this old world and its treasures to even give heaven a glimpse. Oh, how sorry they're going to be. Our earth life is so brief, and eternity is forever. You cannot define eternity and even imagine it. Let me give you a small illustration, if I can. Let's just say the sun burned out and there was a wire stretched from the earth to the sun. And the earth is a great big beach, all sand, no water, all sand. And there's one little ant on that earth. And he's going to take one grain of sand 93 million miles and deposit it on the sun and walk all the way back on that wire, get another piece, and go all the way back to the sun, 93 million, back and forth, until he's delivered the entire earth, one grain at a time. Eternity will not even have begun. Whoa. And that's not only in heaven, that's also in torment. Motivation to make you want to go and give up whatever it is the devil has blinded you with to take your eye off of the goal. I know we can do it. Jesus didn't die for something that could not happen. Oh, it's just impossible to be a Christian. Tell God that he's asking more of all of us than is humanly possible. Well, what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 10 about verse 13? Does God provide a way of escape or what? We just don't choose to look for it. That's the problem that we have today. We are too in love with this world. What is it going to take to shake us? Some people commit immorality and ungodliness of all sorts, and it shakes them, it wakes them, because they wake up and find, as Solomon said, the way of the transgressor is hard. We mentioned earlier David this week, who had to live with his sins and its consequences for the rest of his life. And sometimes it wakes people up, but other times it doesn't make them better, it makes them bitter. It turns them even farther away from God. Well, we live in a nation where people are saying we've never had it so good. Even in a depression or a recession or whatever. We don't know the hard times. And so it takes our eye off the goal. Help us to be more like the Apostle Peter. One of our credit cards used the advertisement several years ago, "So worldly, so welcome." Boy, that stated a lot. Some people are so worldly and so welcome in the world that they're not even thinking about going to heaven. The world is all they know and all they want to know. I remember a preacher telling us in a sermon years ago, what if the Lord said, "You want to go to heaven right now or in 30 years? Well, let me ask you this. Would you want to go to Hawaii right now or in 30 years? I'll take care of your boss. I'll take care of all of your debts while you're gone. I'll take care of all the problems. You may have a question. I've got to take care of. Would you rather want to go now or in 30 years? Oh, now, yeah. Because you could die and there would go my meal ticket. Something could happen. You might change your mind. So yes, I'll go now. I ask you again, go to heaven right now or 30 years? Oh, let's see. Judy and I have a lot of plans. We want to see the grandkids grow up and see what they become. Do I want to go to heaven? You shake your head this way. If that's my answer, if I have the choice of right now or 30 years, and I'm answering like that, where are my treasures? They're here. They're here and not in heaven. And again, you remember the preacher that asked the group of little boys, "You want to go to heaven?" And all they all said, "Oh, yeah." And one little boy sat on the steps and said, "No." He said, "You don't want to go to heaven when you die?" He said, "Oh, yeah, when I die." He said, "I thought you was getting up a load right now. Don't want to go right now. Have you heard enough about heaven to want to go right now? Hawaii, I've heard enough about Hawaii, yeah. But heaven is shaky. I got her made here." No, you don't. No, you don't, because when you leave this life, if earth has been your treasure, then what are you going to have? You talk about the rug jerked out from under you. You don't want to know what the devil has waiting, but the Lord's told us. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. The rich man said, "I am in torment," while Lazarus was comforted. You know, I've seen soldiers return home from the war. And when they get off of the plane, what do? They drop to the ground and they kiss it. Kiss the ground. So glad to be home. Couldn't wait. They weren't where they wanted to be. Homesick, as we mentioned earlier. Let me list some things that are not in heaven and then that are in heaven, and we'll close our lesson and this series. Preacher a long time ago, Foy Wallace, said there'll be no marriage in heaven, and he said that's what'll make it heaven. That's what he said. There'll be no death there. What if there were no death here? Would there be a lot more people here? I told you earlier we had buried 50 Peyton Sidian members of the church in 15 years. They'd all be at home. They'd all be there worshiping God this Sunday. They'd all be there. No death. No corruption. Do you all read about corruption in the news, hear about it in the news? Yes, you do, don't you? Yes, you do. Not going to be there. No locks on doors. Nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. No sorrow. Revelation 7, verse 70. We sing the song, "There'll be no disappointment in heaven." No sickness, no sorrow, no pain. The Bible tells us that, Revelation 21, verse 4. No pain. And I just pretty well guarantee you there's several of you sitting in here right now that are in pain. And you are a wonderful example. Do you know that? You are a wonderful example. None of that will be in heaven. No wickedness. None of that. And you know what? You know what else? No end. When I worked for a living at Caterpillar Tractor before I started preaching, and I can say that, but you better not. When I worked at Caterpillar Tractor, and the first 2 weeks in August were our vacation period, you know what I looked forward to? April, May, boy, it's coming. June, July, it's here. Their vacation is coming. 14 whole days off in a row. And I ruined it. 10 more days. 8, 5, 2 more. And I got to go back. I couldn't enjoy it because it was going to end. See? Amen. Back to the grind. Heaven? You see the end? No. Is it worth waiting for? Worth working for? Worth sacrificing for? Indeed, what a country. What a country. There are things that will be there. Anybody not like to be happy? Anybody? Okay, good. We're on the same page. Every one of us likes to be happy. Is every day filled with happiness? I mean, 24/7? No. The devil's going to make sure of that for you, isn't he? You don't even have to help him. He's going to make sure your life is not... But heaven, always joy. Rest and peace. Heaven, forever. Righteousness. You don't have to worry about your neighbor, what he's doing. Mm-mm. Reward, let's see. Jesus said, great. Matthew 5 and verse 12. Great is your reward. An inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Remember asking my mother, is heaven going to be big enough for everybody that's going to be there? Yeah. John 14, 1 through 3 tells you that. Yes. John's description of the great throne room of God in Revelation chapter 4 and the description of heaven in chapter 21. You talk about a brochure. I know too much about heaven to want to miss that place. I know too much about hell to want to go there. We sing about it. Do we meditate on heaven? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law doth he meditate day and night. Is it going to be worth it, David said? Is it going to be worth it? Read the 119th Psalm and find out what David thought about God's law. I read this several years ago. Young man was born blind, and at the age of 12, he received a surgery that they hoped would make him be able to see. And when they took the bandages off, after his eyes recovered, able to stand the light, they took him out on a balcony in the hospital and showed him the beautiful scenery, the trees, the mountains that were outside. And he looked to his mom and dad and said, "Why didn't you tell me it was so beautiful?" And they said, "Sweetheart, we tried. But there's some things you just have to see. If God can do this for us and the beauties that we have here, do you want to see what heaven's going to be like?" Me too. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to be with the rich man looking up in torment at anyone in Lazarus' bosom and wishing I could be there, or that he could come and put a drop of water on my burning, scalding tongue. Blessed assurance we have. The Lord has provided the way, and here it is. not too hard for anybody. Even I can understand it. That's one thing that helped me understand that I wanted to preach God's Word, because I can understand it and hopefully can help others do the same, so that we all can go to heaven and sing and pray together and love the God that gave us the opportunity and the place. Do you love Him that much? If there's something in your life that is causing you to take a detour, then get back. Break the chains that bind you, whatever it might be, and come back to God. If you've never been baptized into Jesus Christ, like the Bible said, like the 3,000 were on the day of Pentecost, the Jews that did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, proof was given. If you need proof, we will study with you all night if necessary. I know Stan would be glad, anyone would be glad to study with you and answer any Bible question that you may have. Don't let your pride get in your way. We've got a man who's 85 years old at home, letting his pride get in his way. Baptized into a denomination, thinks that baptism is going to save him. He thinks he's a child of God. We cannot convince him otherwise. Don't let it happen to you. Let heaven be your goal. Let God be your God, and not the treasures of this life. If you need to respond, break the chain and do it right now while we stand.